Hebrews chapter 12. I'm doing this series here that's called Honoring the Presence of God. And we're going to be talking here about things we can do and things we're involved with that actually takes and embraces what's already ours. Because the fact is, again, the Bible says we are already the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means the Spirit of God that lives in us, the Bible says it also quickens our mortal bodies. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, now dwells in us. Now, one of my jobs and duties here again this morning is to convince you that God's presence is already here among us. The Bible even says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means Jesus Christ is right here today by his Spirit among us. And like we heard time and time again, he's handing out gifts to us to be used as a blessing to your life. As they were speaking these words here this morning here prophetically about the gifts of God, the shopping cart of God being passed around to us, you know, many of you guys that are precious housewives or precious wives at work, those that are mothers who have children, one of the last things I know that my wife wants to get for Mother's Day or for an anniversary or for Christmas is something like a toaster or a mixer or a set of knives, because these things all mean housework, amen? But I really sense this morning the Holy Spirit actually was handing out some tools of service to be used, not to give you depression and make you upset, but because you need them for things God's going to assign you to do to be better equipped to do those things more effectively in the days ahead. Amen? So whatever that may mean this day that God's handing out gifts, my prayer is you receive whatever gift that God wants you to receive. Amen? Because the Bible says pray that you have the best gifts. And the best gifts means the ones that have the best use for God's kingdom in your life as only God can do. So we're going to talk this morning here about how God's presence helps us to stand, helps us to stand. The Bible is very clear that says in the last days, it says men's hearts will fail them for things that are coming upon the face of the earth. The Bible even says because of the increase of wickedness, the hearts of many people shall grow cold in the last days. Now, we all agree this morning, I believe, that we are living in the last days where Jesus Christ does come back. We can see signs all around us, both good and both bad, that actually displays and gives to us a picture in the Bible, Revelations, Daniel, Isaiah, so forth and so on, that we're seeing signs around us that Christ soon return. But of course, that word soon return is relative because the Bible also says to God, 1,000 of our years is one day to him. And so Jesus Christ may still be tarrying for 10, 15, or 20 years. And that's why he says to occupy until I come. But we do see some signs around us that shows us that things are getting more pressurized around us as well. But the fact is, again, the Bible says, even though this world gives you sometimes tribulation, be of good cheer because I have overcome this world. And I believe God this day, we're going to be people here that are going to stand no matter what the world or the devil throws at us in these last days. We're going to find ourselves not just standing, barely getting by upon this earth, but finding ourselves, again, like I've said before, becoming and being more than overcomers, more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, verse 2, let's go ahead and read this, what it says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author, and notice this, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of the best ways, again, to take and actually honor God's presence is to say every day that I am a person who I acknowledge that I live and move and have my being in Jesus Christ. Every day I wake up, I say this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in this day. It's very important, I believe, every day to wake up and set yourself for victory and not for defeat and not for a bad day. Amen? Never say in the morning this is going to be a bad day. It's going to be one of those days. I don't care what your sheets were like, your cover was like, your sleep was like, your dreams were like. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in this day in Jesus' name. Amen? That's not just saying something there by presumptuous faith. That is a fact of God because God has made every single day we live to be a day that Jesus Christ is Lord of that day. Okay. So all of us want success in life. We need to realize, though, that success is a lifetime adventure. You will not find success in life by accident. You'll find by doing things that God says to do, to obey him, to feed your spirit, to feed your soul, and take care of your body as well. All these things need to come together in a balanced way to bring ongoing success and fruitfulness in your life. Amen? God said, I want you all to bear fruit, and that your fruit does what? That your fruit should remain. Okay? So bearing fruit and bearing lasting fruit is what God has for us, and God wants for us as well upon the earth. So, as Hebrews says here, it includes endurance, it includes perseverance, it also includes denial. Being a successful person means you will persevere, you will stand up, you will go on. When all hell breaks loose against you sometimes, you will still say, I will still stand, and I will still move forward, and I will still do those things God tells me to do by His goodness and by His grace. Jesus' life portrayed hardcore perseverance. Jesus had every reason on the last day of His life on the cross to call down a curse upon all of mankind, to send down legions of angels because all men had forsaken Him. His own disciples even forsook Him. Men had reviled Him, mocked Him, beat Him, stripped Him, shamed Him. He had every reason in the natural realm to not forgive man but call down angels to destroy man. But Jesus Christ, His last words was what? It is finished. And He also said before that, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's been so important to be walking in forgiveness in these last days. We're going to find folks around us betraying us and doing things around us also. As Crystal said this morning here, we're hearing more and more about in public schools how suicides being talked about as more of a normal thing as opposed to abnormal. That must be always an abnormal thing we reject in the body of Christ. Amen? Because there's always reason to live if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And don't let the devil lie to our children that their lives are worthless. This is all there is. They may be going through some valleys in life, but they shall go through in the power of Jesus' name. And I do encourage you, as Crystal said, us all be praying this year for our youth. We're going to find themselves not just squeaking by, barely getting by in public school. We're going to find them being victorious overcomers also in the public school sector this year because God's on their side. Can we say amen to that? Do you believe that? One thing I found about God is God is very seldom in a hurry. The old song says He's never early, He's never late. And the fact is we want God to be early most of the time, but God very rarely is early. God, like I've said time and time again, is not into microwaving. God is into marinating. And God makes sure the things we do in life will sometimes, He'll get the biggest bang for His buck as well, as Dave Sanders said. God will eke things out to the last minute because God wants to do what? He wants to increase your faith. And so the trying of your faith, the Bible says, produces patience. And that word patience also means produces perseverance. We live in a very, very instant gratification type society right now in America where folks want things right now, real fast, real quick, hurry up. And God is saying to us, in My kingdom, I will take My time and I will do things in My time because when I do things, I do all things well. Amen? You say, what about Acts chapter 2? And verse 2, where it says, on the day of Pentecost, it says, all the disciples and their friends were all in one accord in the upper room. And it says in verse 2, suddenly there comes from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it says it filled the house where they were sitting at in that place. Suddenly God shows up. Doesn't God work fast and God work quick in this verse? Well, back up about 8 verses there to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says, these all continued steadfastly with one accord in prayer and in supplication. These guys were actually in this place. The word continued there means persevered. They were there for at least 10 days, fasting and praying, sometimes weeping, praising God, worshiping God, and praying God, saying, Father, send forth Your Spirit that Jesus Christ said to wait for when I die on the cross and I rise again. So God does do things fast, but after He does things slow in your life. When God does break forth, God does break forth quick. Amen? And I believe God can turn the atmosphere of Austin, Texas, and God can break forth revival up in our nation in one day, one week, or one month. God can do that. But God said, there shall be a time of perseverance in the body of Christ to wait upon the Lord, to serve Him, worship Him, praise Him, and pray the price. When we see those breakthroughs take place. And so the same thing's true of your marriage, of your finances, of your health issues. You won't always find God does things as fast as you want Him to do. But when God does show up, God will do all things well and bring forth not just a blessing to your life, but also those you influence in your life and through your life as well. Okay, so I got some take-home points here to write some things down in your notes. If you have bulletins there, please try to write these things down. I'm going to talk about how does God's presence help us to stand. Because we need to be embracing, honoring God's presence, doing things not to grieve the Holy Spirit and drive His presence away from us in a manifest way. And also realize that God's presence brings benefits to our lives we need to have in these last days. The first thing I want to talk about here is, number one, God's presence will help us not to quit. His presence will help us not to quit. One of the great blessings of God's presence is it gives us the ability to not take and give up in doing things that God has brought together by the power of His Spirit. There's so many quitters around us right now in our society. We're being modeled, our kids are being modeled time and time again. If things don't work out, just quit, give up, and go run, take your ball, and go home. And God is telling us you're going to always face hardships and obstacles and pressures and resistance. And anything I ask you to do upon this earth, anything I birth on the earth comes against resistance there. And you're going to be those who find yourselves with my presence as help, not be those who always find yourself quitting when things get tough. In these last days or in your life, your marriage, your finances, your workplace, your relationships, your children's lives, I'm saying be those who do not quit and will not give up. We all face times we want to take and we want to quit. I've had jobs before in the secular realm that I've wanted to quit in the past a few times, not very many. I've been very blessed to have jobs primarily I've actually enjoyed going to. But a few jobs I've had during my Bible school days, especially, I wanted to quit sometimes there. But God would say, keep on going, keep persevering. It's paying the bills. I got you here for a purpose, for a reason. Don't give up. We've all had times in our relationships also. Folks do us dirty. They do things behind our backs that are friends of ours. You want to quit on those things, quit on those people. We want to sometimes even quit on our marriages. And again, Cheryl and I have been married now for, 35 blissful years of married life. And there's peace in the valley, amen. And we found ourselves in 35 years of marriage never using the D word, as far as I know, one time in our marriage. The D word is the word divorce. We've used the word choke and stab and kick and, you know, whatever else. We've never used the word divorce one time in our relationship, amen. Not an option. Till death do us part, for better or for worse, richer or for poorer. She says sometimes I didn't know how worse it could be. But that's not really true. But it's been a good time together here because we have a covenant there. We say we will not quit on each other. And I can't find anybody better also because God put us together. What God joins together, let no man separate. We believe that also in marriage. I want to also say even in disciplines. We find ourselves going to the gym for a day or two or a week or two and we quit. We find ourselves going on to a certain diet and we find ourselves wanting to quit. We find ourselves waking up in the morning having quiet time with God. We find that months go by, weeks go by, and we quit. God is saying, please try to find a way to go back to those disciplines there that I birthed in your life and pick up that ball, pick up that baton once again, and do not quit. One thing God spoke to my heart also a few days ago, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, just a few days back, He said, when you speak this morning, also tell people that are actually finding themselves being drawn back to old vices. Do not quit resisting that temptation for the old vice you had times ago, times past. Some of you guys, you found a medication take place by alcohol. You're medicated sometimes by pornography. You're medicated sometimes perhaps by getting depressed and feeling sorry for yourself. God is saying, don't let those old vices come back in your life once again. It is time to find scriptures, time to find verses, time to find believers who can help you see overcoming is going to be part of your life and define you, not your old vice, in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that? So that's you today. I'm saying take hold of that and realize the good news is Jesus Christ, with His shopping cart handing out gifts today, gives you the power to say no to every old vice you've ever had there. And God makes a way of escape, as you can bear anything the world or Satan throws at you in this hour. Is that true? Is God's word true? Five folks believe that. God's word says there's no temptation taking you, but God makes a way of escape. You can bear anything thrown at you. Amen. Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, 13 says, I would have lost heart, I would have fainted, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You are not going to just see God's goodness in a glorified body in heaven. You're going to see God's goodness in the land of the living on this earth. I'm saying that in Jesus' name. No matter what you're going through in life, I'm saying you're going to see the goodness of God released to you in the land of the living. I'm saying confess that, memorize that, speak that, and believe that, because you are going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't care how bad things are right now. Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and he has the final say. Amen? You got to believe that. It's all right to think about quitting. Just don't act on it. You can think about it. You can want to do it. Just don't act on it. I think about time and time again as I was over at Shoreline Christian Center for about 9 years. Robert Koch would give us the illustration many times. He said, back in my first 2 or 3 years of pastoring Shoreline Christian Center, then called Christian Faith Center, he said, if you could take and give me, move my pulpit, he said, 1 inch for every time I wanted to quit the ministry and quit being pastor here, the pulpit here would be from here to the street in front of our church. That's how far it would have moved. I wanted to quit hundreds of times, but God would not let me do that. And praise God, they built a great church, a great congregation there. They kept on persevering with that. I'm saying, is there many examples how God, like Iris is saying as well here, not Iris, but other folks, Therese was saying here again, mega ministries have been people that have testimonies of perseverance in their lives. In the face of hardships, they would not quit. They would not say no. They kept on pressing on with God's help. Amen. Praise God. So, when retreat seems like our only option at all, God says, tap into my presence and tap into persistence, says the Lord. I did a message here several years back how God takes us from a thing called promise to provision. I showed you there how one example was the Israelites. God promised them a land that flows with milk and honey. He promised that to them. He takes them across the Red Sea, gives them manna, gives them pillar of fire by day or by night, pillar of cloud by day to shade them. God protects them, watches over them, but God did not mention to them, there will be a wilderness between your promise and your provision. And the problem is, with any promise God gives you, there will always be a problem after the promise that God gives. Satan will test what God says. Satan will attack the Word of God. And God will allow that also to take place as well and bring pressure to that Word that God gave you. So don't be alarmed when it seems like all hell breaks loose when God gives you a promise, because there's always going to be a problem after the promise. If you can break through the problem, though, there will be divine provision that will break forth. It'll be bigger than you ask or think or imagine if you can just get through the problem. Some of you guys right now are facing the problem series of your life. And the good news is provision is still there for you if you'll just choose to persevere, stand, and not give up in the face of your problem. Amen? The Israelites could have gone from A to B, from the Egypt to the place of Canaan's milk and honey in 11 days. It took them 40 years. Only two of them made it, Joshua and Caleb, because they could not get their eyes set upon the author and finisher of their faith, who was God himself, who was Yahweh, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ going with them. They just could not do that. May we be a better people in this hour. Amen? Okay. We've been looking also at Moses on Wednesday nights in a different series I've been doing here for the past couple of weeks. And the Bible says that God called Moses to go back to his place, notice this, of failure. Moses killed the Egyptian in anger, trying to rescue his own people. And the Bible says he finds himself fleeing from the Egyptians. They said, we're going to kill this man and give him capital murder or capital charges of death by first degree murder. And so Moses goes ahead, as the Bible says, and finds himself fleeing to Midian in the backside of the desert. For 40 years he stays there. 40 years goes by. The Bible says finally God shows up in a burning bush and brings Moses back to the place where the crime took place. Now notice here again, God waits for 40 years to do this, because God makes sure that all the people that wanted to kill him were now out of the way, and they were actually either dead or in prison or something else there, and they didn't want to kill him when he came back 40 years later. What I'm trying to say is, God will bring you back to your place of failure, but also don't be in a hasty hurry to go back to that place yourself too quick. Some folks go through a broken marriage, for example, and they find themselves dating or trying to get remarried in 2 weeks after the person's been buried. That's probably too quick and too soon, amen? the divorce takes place, divorce happens, there's wounds, there's bruises, there's hurtful things that may be there. I'm saying take some time to heal. Take some time to get counseled. Take some time for God to love you the way he loves you. Don't be fast to get right back in a new marriage all over again once you get divorced. Sometimes a business fails. The business goes kaput. It goes bankrupt, does not work. I'm saying take some time to rest. Take some time to get ministered to. Take some time for God to recharge your batteries. Learn from your mistakes. And then in due time, God brings you back to your place of failure in victory, not in defeat. Amen? Can you see that? The same thing is true also in the Bible of Jacob. I told you guys last week how Jacob returned back to the place where Esau wanted to kill him because he stole Esau, his brother's birthright. The Bible says Jacob goes back there, and now that years have gone by, Esau doesn't want to kill him. He embraces him, hugs him, gives him gifts perhaps, and says, "Welcome, my brother. I'm prosperous. I'm doing okay. All things are well." You see, God does things in his own timing, and God brings forth blessings when it is his timing. We also see that with David. David had returned, or been actually driven out of Jerusalem because his own son Absalom now takes over the kingship, trying to kill his own dad. These things all find their roots back when David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba and killed her husband named Uriah the Hittite. The Bible says through all those series of events, you can follow this sometime in your own Bible, it brought forth the destruction of a daughter of David. Absalom gets revenge for this upon his own brother that did the rape of his own sister, Tamar. And so the Bible says, then Absalom says, "I'm going to go ahead and hug the men around Israel here, kiss them, be nice to them, and try to get the kingship from my own father, David, in a wooing type fashion there." And from that, it says, the hearts of the people of Israel were turned toward Absalom. And David finds himself fleeing Jerusalem for his life. The fact also goes on and says, Ahithophel, who had the counsel of God in his own mind, stayed behind because Ahithophel actually hates David as well. Now, because David made the right thing when he sinned, the Bible says Nathan the prophet comes to him and he says, "You have sinned against God and against Israel." David could have stopped right there and said, "Well, Nathan, I've been chased by Saul. I had to kill a giant. I've been misunderstood by my own people at Ziklag. They tried to stone me for a while there. I'm under pressure. I'm under stress. I deserve one little fling, one little affair, one little fleshly relapse perhaps in my life." That's what David could have said back to Nathan. But the Bible says in 2 Samuel, I think it's around chapter 12, verse 13, David says these words, "I have sinned against the Lord." Didn't play the blame game, blames himself, takes ownership for his own sin. Nathan then says back to him, he says these words. He says, "The Lord has now put away your sin." And then he goes on and says this, "And you will not die." That's good news and bad news. What he's saying there is, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when folks would sin there like David, time and time again, the Bible says God was angry and smote them and they died on the spot. Nathan says, "David, for getting your sins confessed, you will not die." What it does mean, though, he goes on to prophesy, says, "Because you did this sin, the sword will never leave your house, and somebody in your own household will rise up and cause you trouble the rest of the days of your life." That man was Absalom, and that sword never left Israel's house, David's house, from that day forward. So you see, there's going to be sin forgiven, but also consequences for sin. Do you see that? So I'm saying, please don't be those who sin on purpose. Do know God forgives sin, but do know also God knows how to spank people who do sin. Amen? There shall be consequences for our sin. Okay, so we see that again, how these guys again went back to the place of failure. Jacob did this. Moses did this. David did this. When David goes back to Jerusalem in the right timing, the Bible says Absalom is dead. His army is defeated. And the hearts of Israel go back to David once again, and there's peace in David's life, in this realm, in this part of his life, in this season, okay? So if you go through a season of discouragement yourself, what I'm saying is don't camp in that place of discouragement. I want to remind you guys again, Psalm 23 is very clear. Psalm 23 tells us, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." God doesn't say camp there. God doesn't say put down roots there. God does not say retreat there. Yea, though I keep on walking through the valley of the shadows of death. If you're discouraged this morning, do something in your power and your might that God may put things of his power and his might to marry those two together and bring breakthroughs to your life that you need. Amen? Because we are going to find ourselves choosing to walk when all things are darkness in the valleys of the shadows of death around us. Today, I'm praying right now, Father, show us what you mean to us individually today. What's it mean for me to walk when I'm going through discouragement, going through depression, going through reversals, going through pressures? What can I do to walk? It may mean praise, it may mean worship, it may mean reading God's word, it may mean memorizing scriptures, it might mean releasing forgiveness. But I'm saying God will give you a key of how to walk in the valleys of the shadows of death. Amen. I believe that. Do you believe that as well? God can do that. If you ever face a broken relationship, a death in your family, a miscarriage, a major sin issue, the worst thing you can do is to run from God when that takes place. Amen. God forbid those things take place in your lives, your kids' lives, your husband or wife's life. But if it does take place, the worst thing to do is run from God. The best thing to do is run to God. Because God's a God of love and grace and power and mercy. When you run into his arms, he will always embrace you. He'll always comfort you. He will bring answers and solutions to you. Run to God. Don't run from him when bad things take place. Amen. God heals and God also restores, and it takes place again through perseverance. How many men here today would say that you actually in your own lives have got WD-40 in your garage right now today? How many men would say that? WD-40. Most of you men. Surveys have been done about WD-40 in times past. They found that 4 out of 5 American households have WD-40 in their garages, in their households somewhere, somehow. Do you realize that WD-40 is actually an example of divine perseverance? Because back in 1953, during the Apollo program, they could not find a chemical to erase all the water and moisture off the parts in these rockets. These two men got together and tried and tried and tried and tried again and again, and finally invented this great chemical, this great spray called WD-40 in 1953. When they first began selling their product, they sold about 100 cans a week or a month. But now, as time has gone by, they're selling 1 million cans every week in America and around the world of WD-40. It was used in World War II, or it was used in Vietnam War, used in the Korean War, used for getting guns unjammed and ammunition-type things, so forth and so on, used time and time again for great miraculous things. Do you know what WD-40 stands for? It stands for water displacement. We tried 40 times till we got it right. Water displacement, we tried 39 times. On the 40th time, we finally got it right. And today, in the year 2016, would have been great stock to have bought decades ago. Too late now. WD-40 is in the house of 4 out of 5 Americans, and around the world as well, we see WD-40 on the shelves. There's a thing I want to also talk about here in a side note here. It's called balance grace, because we're getting this grace message sometimes out of whack in these hours, this day, and this season in our churches. Balance grace is found by the story of the prodigal son, because God's a God of mercy and grace. Understand what real grace really looks like. There's two extremes of grace in the prodigal son's story. One extreme says the prodigal son backslid, took his father's inheritance on wild living, squandered all the wealth he had that was there, and his father searches for him, finds him, and begs him on his knees, "Son, you have sinned. You've squandered all your wealth, but I still love you unconditionally. I just want you to be happy in life. I don't care what you've done. Your mom misses you. Your brothers miss you. The dog misses you. Come on back home. All is well. All is forgiven. You're okay. I'm okay." That's the way it is. That's one extreme of hyper grace. The other extreme goes like this. The prodigal son gets forgiveness from God, please to God for forgiveness, says, "God, cleanse me of all my sins. I want to get my heart right with you once again." He finds himself going back to his own father's household. His dad is there, but his dad has an evil look on his face. His dad's angry. He's unforgiving. He rejects him. He says, I'm just so depressed. I'm so disappointed in you, son. Such a discouragement to me. I just want to spank you. I'd like to do bad things to you. You've done so many bad things to me. I just reject you, son. you just go ahead and just work and work and work and work and try to get my favor once again, but it probably just won't even work at all. I'm so mad at you, son. That's the other extreme of grace, where it says God will never forgive us. God's always mad at us. God always wants more from us for things we've done to just sin in our lives. The balanced form of grace is this. The prodigal son comes to his senses, asks God to forgive him, walks back towards his house, and he finds his own father, a type of God himself, running towards him with arms open wide, with a robe to give to him and a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and he kills the fattened calf. And he says, son, I love you. All is forgiven. I love you. I love you. Receive your position once again back in my household. We're all for you, not against you. See, the difference here is he repents now in the third story. He repents, gets his heart right with God, finds himself going towards God. On the way to God, God comes to him. And God says to us, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Amen? Hyper grace says, no matter what we do in life, God just forgives us. God just kind of winks at the sin. God says, no big deal. I'm going to bring you back myself by force. God does not do that. God also does not reject us and get hard with us and do evil things towards us. God's a loving God. Amen? So I'm saying be persevering people in the realms of grace as well. Number two, write this down. Second thing is this. God's presence will cause us to take action. It will cause us to take action. You know, the Pope took action a few months back here in America on his tour of our nation several months back. I heard that in a limousine, he was being chauffeured across the route through the streets of New York City, and the driver was going too slow for him. So the Pope says, listen, son, I got a schedule here. I'm in a little bit of a hurry. Can you please go a little bit faster? The chauffeur driver says, I'm sorry, sir, but I've received some tickets this year. One more ticket, I lose my license to be a chauffeur. I can't go any faster. The Pope said, okay, then, you get in the back seat, I'll drive. So the Pope starts driving the vehicle. He's flying to New York City, breaking speed limits, running red lights a whole bit. The cops see him doing that, pull him over, and they say, sir, you're breaking all the laws of the land. They see who it is, and the guy calls his office in New York City, and he says, listen, I'm sorry. I got a very, very important man I have pulled over in New York here. What do I do about that? The guy says, how important is this guy? He goes, well, I just want to say this. The Pope is his chauffeur. Let me explain that to you guys. Let me decipher that for you. The Pope is his chauffeur. Okay, so what I'm saying here is the Pope takes action, and God says also the presence of God will help us bring forth actions also in our life too. God's presence will give us a persistence so that we are going to find ourselves controlled or not controlled by people or circumstances, but being controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Persistence does not look at other people's approval in order to succeed also in our lives. We look only for God's approval in our lives. Does not play the blame game like David himself did not do that day. He said, I alone have sinned. Forgive me, O God, if you would please. God forgives him, and no blame was put upon things of David's past. He owns what he did himself. Every promise in the Bible, it says things like this to us. Stand strong. It says march on. It says be strong and courageous. It says take the land. It says be victorious. It says you are made more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. It says you're above only, not beneath. You're the head, not the tail. You're those that are overcomers, not undertakers, in Jesus' name. God is saying, you have already won the battle through me. So stand like it, act like it, be like it, says God. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 on the screen here behind me, through 39, says these familiar words. It says, yet in all these things that Paul the apostle went through in hardships, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ the Lord. He's saying here, if you've been knocked down, get back up and fight once again. Amen? Falling down is not failure. Staying down is failure. Amen? How can you be an overcomer if there's nothing to overcome in your life? there's going to always be a fight. You're going to never find yourself outgrowing battles as long as you serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a whole lot of hate around us right now in the world today. Is that true? And hate will probably increase around us also in these last days. Is my battery kind of going flat on me? Let me see. Can you hear me better now? I'm going to put this thing in my pocket. Maybe help out a little bit. But I'm saying that hatred's increasing around us to the point where if you have a different opinion of somebody else around you, especially on social media, you're going to find yourself being hated even for your opinions in this hour and in this season. In this election year of 2016, I want to encourage you guys in the body of Jesus Christ to realize you are primarily a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I have got good friends on both sides of the political spectrum. I don't hate anybody for who they're going to vote for this coming November. Amen? They could be right or wrong, but I'm saying the primary thing is my hope and faith is not in a man or woman. My hope is in God and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. Let us not be those who find ourselves hating people for who they vote for and who they're actually for in these elections. May we always be our focus upon Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, realizing we are kingdom citizens, and no man or woman can save this country. It's going to take Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit working together to bring forth God's desires for America in these last days. Do you believe that? No matter who wins this November, no matter who wins, I'm saying pray for them. Believe God for the best for them, because God says no authority gets raised up, but God does not know about that. God doesn't have a hand in that, and God can still use that to bring redemptive things to a nation by his Spirit. Do not get alarmed or fearful by a person taking office in this country as governors, mayors, whatever here. God is in control. Amen? You got to believe that and know that as well. We don't need hatred in the body of Christ in these last days. Amen. We need more love, not more hate. The Bible says, don't become weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we do not faint and do not give up. Last point here, number three, is this. Number three is the presence of God will cause us to finish well. Finish well. On Paul's last night on planet Earth, he's in Rome in prison, between two guards at least, facing his head being cut off the next morning, the next day. And what is Paul's final words he writes down? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. God doesn't want flash and dash. God wants persistence among his people in these last days. Some of you guys that are here right now may even find yourself being martyred before you die, before Christ comes back to the earth once again. Not before you die, before Christ comes back. But if you get martyred, I'm going to tell you right now again, grace will be there your martyrdom day to get martyred in Jesus' name. The grace will be there for that because God's grace is sufficient for us. What are we facing in life? If you or someone else you know is ever diagnosed with a cancer, a disease, or a life-altering type sickness or illness, I'm saying this morning here to your faces, do not give up, do not back down, do not say they're going to die. Do all you can to fight and believe and pray and confess and act to see them healed in Jesus' name. Amen? You know, the police have said a few years ago, they found through research, and I want to give here kind of a graphic illustration, so bear with me on this. They said that a few years ago, they found through research on rapists and serial rapists and so forth, that in times past, they advised women, if someone tries to take and attack you in a sexual type fashion, as a stranger, go ahead and submit to them, kind of bow to them, and be very, very docile, and just kind of let things get very, very gentle, because otherwise you'll stir them up. And you're going to find it goes worse for you. They have now found by interviewing and talking to many, many dozens and hundreds of serial rapists, that's the worst thing to do. You need to fight and kick and scream and yell, get your high heels off, smack them in the forehead, find somehow, some way to get out of your mess because those guys are not going to stop by you being docile and submissive and just sitting there and taking what they give to you. Amen? So I'm saying to you guys, that's advice by the secular police force across our nation today, is don't be docile when facing an enemy like that face to face. The same thing is true in the realm of the Spirit. If Satan ever comes with cancer, disease, or sickness, or whatever it may be there, don't become passive and docile. Take your stand in Jesus' name. Find verses, find scriptures, find faith arising inside your heart, and come against him in Jesus' name. And believe God to the last breath you need to there, that God is a healer, a deliverer, a savior, and God is faithful. And God loves us. And God is for us, not against us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to write down four things here in closing. I want to read Revelations. Revelations 3 and 12 and 3:21 says this. Those who overcome, I will make them a pillar in the temple of my God. That's verse 12. Revelations 3:21 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Those who overcome are victorious, not just here, but also in the life to come with God's grace and help. Please write down these four last things here. We're going to close in prayer in a moment. These are four little subpoints that can cause us to not finish well in this life. Number one thing is this. First thing, write down. Giving into temptation. Giving into temptation. I want to say again, sin will always cost you more than you want to pay, take you further than you want to go. It will also always have diminishing returns added to it. What satisfied you a few weeks or months ago will not satisfy you today as far as sin's concerned. Sin always wants more. Amen? So I'm saying resist temptation. Be like Barney Fife and nip it in the bud when it comes. Amen? Do like Joseph and run the other way. Don't give in to temptation. Number two, don't also learn to enjoy bad company. Enjoy bad company. If you got folks at work that are gripers and complainers and whiners and fault finders, in due time, pray to God, help me find a different crowd to run with. In the church, don't find yourself around, again, the gripers, complainers, whiners, and fault finders. Those folks exist all around the world. They're trying to be with people that will build you up, speak words of life, speak words that edify, speak words that bring forth comfort and so forth. Also, those involved in sins and old vices, don't find yourself partnering with them in your lives. Amen? They're going to give you temptations you cannot take many, many times. Number three thing is this, spiritual drifting helps you not to stand. That means that you find yourself, by neglect normally, just kind of drifting away from your pure devotion and love for Jesus you had years ago. Drifting is so easy and it is so slow, you don't even see it's happening in your life. There must be a standard inside of our hearts where we know what it's like to be totally in love with Jesus Christ. If you find yourself drifting from that, there's something out of whack in your thoughts, your speech, or your actions. And I'm saying, let the Holy Spirit show those things to you and don't drift in these last days. Amen? Number four, last thing, write this down. Number four is compartmentalizing God. Compartmentalizing God. That means God is one piece of the whole pie of your life. You say, okay, God, at church, I won't do this, this, and this. Well, church is over, though. I'm in the business realm. All the rules change in my life, my speech, my actions, my thoughts, so forth, so on. You must not compartmentalize God. God, the old song says, if he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord of all. Amen? He must be Lord of your children, your schooling, your education, your home life, your vacation life, your work life, your habit life, your hobbies life. If he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord of all. God must be over all, in all, with all, in all. Amen? God does it. James, come back to help me out, please, James, at the end of the service here. I want us all to bow our head, close our eyes for prayer again this morning today, to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the desires he wants us out of our hearts and lives. God has spoken today about handing out gifts to us, this great divine shopping cart that God has for us. And one gift I believe that God wants to pour inside of our hearts and lives this day is a gift called perseverance. No matter what I face or am facing right now in life, I will choose from this day forward. I will stand and not fall. I will walk and not retreat. I will find myself advancing, not going backwards. I'll find myself also being one who has an overcoming heart, not one that speaks death. over my life or the lives of those around me in Jesus' name. You said this morning here that those who endure until the end will be saved. The Bible says that, Hebrews chapter 12. God's presence, honoring His presence means His presence helps me not to quit, helps me to take action, helps me also to finish well in my life. I want all you that are here today to finish well, to finish well. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Father, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today, I ask you, O God, to deal with our hearts and lives this morning. If there's those of you here today that feel like quitting in some area of their lives, that you know, O God, is not for them to quit. It's time to pick up that baton, like in the Olympics, and pass that baton to someone else also to help them out, to be one who lifts up their arms with them in agreement. I pray, God, show my brothers and my sisters here today who is in the body of Christ they may find themselves joining arms with this day to say, I need your comfort, your help, your advice, your counsel, your prayers in my life. I feel like quitting in this part of my life, my marriage, my business, my workplace, mothering, fathering, step-parents. If you feel like quitting today, God is saying to you, He has answers, He has solutions, He has strength, He has anointing, He has gifts to give today. But you'll not find yourself quitting and giving up and going backwards today. Father, I also pray today that you show us who we can help, who feels like quitting. Show us, oh God, somebody in the body of Christ. As Crystal mentioned this morning, her own son's mouth speaks out about this great giant of suicide facing our public school children. Help us, God, discern things our children go through this year, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our loved ones around us. Those who feel like quitting, we'll be there, oh God, to comfort them, to advise them, to pray for them, to bless them, to do things actually practically for them, that they will not have to quit, give up. They'll find themselves going forward because they have somebody standing with them by your Spirit. Ecclesiastes says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. If one man's by himself and falls, he has no one to pick him up. But if two come together, the other man picks him up. But a threefold cord, the Bible says, is not easily broken. That third cord is Jesus. We need brothers, the body of Christ, sisters, the body of Christ. We also need Jesus to be with us in the middle of us, to build us up and not let us be torn down. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, God. Right now, just one more moment. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, there's somebody in this room today that actually is a person that would save an honesty. With your hand raised up right now, there's an area of my life I felt like quitting in. Just raise your hand right now if you're like that. Someone across the congregation, just raise your hand up. Anybody else? Just raise one hand up right now. Over here on the left-hand side, I see several hands. Let's all just stand to our feet right now. And those who, your hands are raised up, just stay where you're at for this moment. But I want to ask you guys who are here, all of us here across the congregation, not to embarrass anybody. Let's just join hands together right now. And let's pray for our brothers and sisters on our left, on our right. Because there's folks here this morning with their hands raised up that say there's an area in their lives right now today they have felt like quitting in. But God wants them not to quit, but to be those who take and reignite and find His life and find a fresh fire take place in their hearts. Father, right now we pray for our brother, our sister on our left. The hand of God be upon them, O Lord. Touch them to encourage them, to strengthen them, to bless them, O God, with your faith, your grace, your life, your anointing, O God, your word. Be in their lives, in their mouths, in their hearts, in Jesus' name. We pray right now for our brother or sister on our right. We say the hand of God be upon them. The grace of God be their portion. The Spirit of God encompass them around. And we right now just cut off every assignment of hell that's trying to speak lies in their minds or hearts. And we say those lies are exposed and they come to nothing. In the name of Jesus, may the truth, O God, be their portion. And may the truth set them free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just sense right there as I'm praying that prayer. Some of you guys that want to quit here, it's because you're believing a lie. And God will expose every lie of Satan if you'll just put light upon darkness. That means that that God give you scriptures, give you the word, sometimes through praise, sometimes through worship. May light come on darkness, that darkness may flee at the speed of light, and lies be vanquished in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to go ahead and have the Bertrams come up here. If you help us out here. Sorry, they had no microphone. I'll get James in. Yeah, there's no mic. I'll let James help us out to dismiss us in prayer in a moment because there's no mic up here. And before he does that, please remember this coming Wednesday night, our special guest comes here named Curtis Baker. This man's always got a good word from the Lord to give to us. He's a great friend of ours as well. He's been here several times in the past on Sundays mainly. Try to be here for that. Those of you here that are leaders or will be leaders in the future perhaps, please avail yourself to be here at 6 o'clock tonight from 6 to 7. There'll be some good teachings, interactions, some feedback, some questions, answers, so forth from 6 to 7 with that. And above all that, this week, don't be quitters, be overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen. No matter what the devil throws against you or at you, you are an overcomer in the name of Jesus. And there's always reason to persevere and stand and walk and not give up, no matter what we face in life. Amen. So believe that, live like that. We'll let James dismiss us in prayer. And God bless you, folks. Have a great Sunday here and a great week coming up. God bless you.